Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Zatarain's, a New Orleans tradition since 1889. From WWNO New Orleans and our studios in the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, this is Louisiana Eats. I'm Poppy Tooker. Halloween is simply one of my favorite holidays, and ghost-laden Louisiana is one of the best places in the world to celebrate All Hallows Eve. To get you in the spirit, we'll visit the tombs of the dearly departed culinary legends with author and historian Sally Asher. Then, documentarian Barbara Sillery takes us to some of her favorite French Quarter haunts. And finally, we'll learn the story of Toujac's cross-dressing ghost, Julian L. Tinge. Get ready for some thrills and chills on this week's Louisiana Eats. New Orleans is such a storied place that sometimes some of those stories follow people well beyond the grave. Author, photographer, and historian Sally Asher is an authority on New Orleans' cities of the dead. She recently published a fascinating historical account of our dead in Stories from the St. Louis Cemeteries of New Orleans. We took a walk through St. Louis No. 3 with Sally to learn about the arcane rituals of death in New Orleans while visiting a few of the cemetery's immortalized inhabitants. Well, we're standing in St. Louis No. 3, and we came to St. Louis No. 3 because there's sort of a restaurant row, in essence, here. Let's visit these tombs and tell me who's in them.
Well, right when you enter the entrance of St. Louis No. 3, on the left side, it's known as the Chef's Corner for three local chefs' names. But actually, only one chef lives here, and that's Jean Galatoire. Well, St. Louis No. 3, they say, out of all the cemeteries, is the most, you know, city of the dead, and that they used to say these were rows of houses. So he is in his own special house, and he has one of the best views, just like his restaurant, the place to, you know, see and be seen, that's Jean Galatoire's tomb.
So, of course, the reason that we have these cities of the dead is because it's really not effectual to do an in-ground burial in the city of New Orleans proper because our water table is so high. So maybe you could take us back to the earliest days and explain how they discovered this and what it might have been like before they started building the cities of the dead.
Basically, it was kind of done by class system at that time. If you could afford to be buried above ground, the earliest burials, which were done in the French Quarter, were below ground. And it was very common during a heavy rain or storm for former loved ones to pop up and sometimes make their appearance on the French Quarter streets. And so that's when they started, roughly at that, when they demolished the St. Peter Street Cemetery and we went to St. Louis No. 1, they were predominantly above ground. Now out in Potter's Fields, which was located in this area, in the mid-city area, it was still below ground. And they have recorded diaries and newspaper accounts of people would have to stand on the coffins. Men would go and stand and wait for them to have the mud fill up. And they would keep popping up and and the widowed mother or wife would throw themselves down and they could not be buried. And even during that time out in Potter's Field, they were not done above ground. They were buried below ground, which was a sign of class and status, yeah. Which is another one of the reasons why the Benevolent Society tomb started, so people could be buried above ground and would not be reappearing days or years down the road.
As we wound our way through the cemetery's above-ground vaults, Sally happened upon the memorial of an infamous 19th century shipwreck that carried some unique New Orleanians in tow.
But what was unusual about the one trip, it was the one trip that they wrote about because when they left New York Harbor, it was filled with all these prostitutes because three of these local madams, or actually it was more than three really prominent ones, but probably about half a dozen madams, it was common for them to go to New York and to the East to pick up prostitutes to fill the brothels for the winter season. So a lot of the really fine prostitutes would winter here in New Orleans. So they were coming back from their trip with, it ranges between 60 to 90 prostitutes. And then we had the French Opera Company, and then we had a French circus on this boat, as well as with James Gallier. So it was already notorious by the time it left the harbor, and then it sunk in a hurricane.
It sunk in a hurricane, October 1866.
Yeah, it's a lot different. You know, you think about the Titanic, how you go down, you're in the lifeboats. And this was like being in this violent washing machine where a lot of people died from being decapitated, being hit in the head, because there's just debris filing everywhere. And so while in some cases it saved your life, people were holding on to, you know, parts of the ship to live. In other cases, that's what's killed them, from being struck by the falling debris. And there was five lifeboats had survived, only they think just one woman. There was no women and children first, because apparently a lot of the workers were scabs and they refused to hire union men. So it was a lot of the men, the crew had claimed the boats for themselves and were threatening passengers, like they would strike them or hit them if they tried to get into the boat. And then all the different boats went in different areas, and they were out, and some were out in the open sea for, you know, 5 days with no provisions.
Oh my gosh.
And the saddest one was, there was one that carried one, like, third mate who had passengers. He was the only one that had all passengers, and they all died. Oh. Some went crazy and threw themselves over the boat, and there was two young girls left, like 16, 19. They were both prostitutes, and they just got to shore. Like, they had gotten to shore, they were making it, and the waves came over, and the third mate fell out, and his feet touched the ground. And he's like, we're safe, and the women were so exhausted and worn out that they got thrown out to sea. And they died just yards away from the shore, and they found one and buried her, and the other one, all they found left was her perfectly formed foot. The sharks ate her. They said that God sunk the ship because it was loaded down with iniquity.
What an incredible project. I mean, the cities of the dead in New Orleans are teeming with stories and people.
And I think New Orleans, you know, it's so unusual, and people are so enraptured by, you know, the beauty of some of these cemeteries. Even the decay is just amazing. It's unique, that they tend to forget that there are people who are buried in here. And these people had a really strong imprint on New Orleans. And I feel like if you can know the people and know their stories, it will give you even a greater respect for the cemeteries. And it means a lot more to be walking up and down these aisles and knowing who these people were and what they did and what they achieved, than simply looking at a beautiful tombstone. Or sometimes passing a very modest one and not realizing the significance in it.
So as we walk along, tell us what it would have looked like here on the big day. Tell us about All Saints and All Souls Day, New Orleans style.
Well, All Saints Day, which happens on November 1st, the day after Halloween, was always looked upon as a chance to pay your respects to the dead. People would come in and they would wash the tombs, they would lay flowers, they would pull weeds. And it wasn't just a day kind of cleaning, of preparation, it was also a celebration. And there was kind of two divided parties where people got a chance to dress up and wear their finery, and some people was very much a fashion show. They got to wear the latest fashions, where other people would be dressed very shabbily and in deep mourning. But outside, they would sell sweet potato pies, there would be candy, there would be flowers. The flower shops would start advertising just a few weeks in advance. You can go through some of these old advertisements for flower specials for All Saints Days. Vendors would be lined up outside the cemeteries selling balloons and toys for the children to keep them amused. And most of the richer families would have some of their slaves in antebellum times. They would stand by the tombs and guard the tombs and watch over them for that day, while the ladies might set down their furs or their parasols. And people would be in bars, were usually open at special hours, because most of the men could not handle either the women parading up and down or the crying women. And so it was tradition then for the men to hit the bars afterwards, and they would have, it was one of their best days. So for flower vendors, for food vendors, for bars, they said it was a cross between Christmas and Mardi Gras.
I believe in other cities in the country, you know, mourning, burial, all that sort of thing is more of a private thing. But here in New Orleans, we just do it up, don't we? And that's been going on.
We do it up, and it seems to be, you know, definitely after the Louisiana Purchase, when those Protestants came into the city, people tend to absorb their culture. And so within a few decades, you notice that the Protestants were observing the same rituals that the Catholics were. And they were very, very welcome. And you would see articles written in the newspapers back in like the 1820s that would describe the ritual of All Saints Day. And they would say, hey, Protestants do it now too. And if you are visiting the city, please, please come to our cemeteries and witness this very unique and special ritual that's very near and dear to New Orleans. And so they were welcoming people and brought them in. And so they never really adopted outsider influence. New Orleans always has this pattern, no matter what, being very dominant, and a different religion or a different background comes in and just kind of gets absorbed into the culture. And that's what happened with All Saints Day.
Sally, thank you so much for taking us on this hauntingly exciting tour of the cemeteries.
Thank you very much.
Sounds and Stories from the St. Louis Cemeteries with author, historian, and photographer Sally Asher. You can find Sally's new book, Stories from the St. Louis Cemeteries of New Orleans, in bookstores everywhere. When we come back from a short break, we'll head down to New Orleans French Quarter, one of the most haunted places in America. Stay tuned.
Why did the Lord of the bar have to take the one I love? I never thought I'd see the day I'd see her face down in the grave.
I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Louisiana Eats is brought to you with major support from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen and Zatarain's.
He takes his cane, his gloves, and his hat, and like a cat, he hurries down the alley. The moon is bright, and this is the night when Mr. Ghost is going to town.
New Orleans French Quarter has been home to more than its fair share of spooky stories, filled with tragic and unsavory characters. What you may not know is that these long-perished villains and heroes continue to materialize regularly at their old haunts, terrifying and delighting denizens and tourists alike. Possessing a keen interest in legends, myths, and folklore, Barbara Sillery has researched the stories behind these tethered spirits for her book, The Haunting of Louisiana. We joined Barbara on an overcast October morning to learn more about the quarter's ghostly residents. So let's bring some of New Orleans' most famous spirits to life. We're so fortunate to be sitting here in the patio at the famous Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop. What happened here, Barbara?
Supposedly, although there is no documented proof, this was used as a sort of ploy for the pirate Jean Lafitte. He would rob ships out in the Gulf, and then his Baratarians, which were his fellow pirates, they had a storehouse down in the Gulf by Barataria, and then they would bring the goods upriver here to the blacksmith shop, and wealthy Creoles would come here and be able to buy these stolen goods from him. So now, after his death, they say that the pirate has never really quite left. And people will say they've seen him out here in the courtyard walking around. They've seen him in the bar, just sort of hanging around the bar, watching what's going on. And occasionally a patron who's sitting at the bar will instruct the bartender to buy that gentleman down there in the corner a drink. He supposedly looks like a sketch that was done early on. He's a dark, swarthy figure, and he wears this typical what we all think of as a pirate hat. And he has a big sword hanging off of his hip.
Well, I would think that would cause a pretty big commotion down here in the bar. I don't think that would go unnoticed.
Well, as I say in my book, I think there are more spirits here packaged in a bottle than wandering loose. However, people still like to believe that they see the pirate Jean Lafitte here.
So where would you suggest we continue our tour?
Well, since this is a show about all things tasty and wonderful, I think we should go next to Arno's restaurant where there are three ghosts.
Let's go.
Boy, don't you go in there! Come out of there, boy! Don't you know that house is Hannah's?
Barbara, I am so thrilled that we got to tuck into the dining room here at Arno's. It really is breathtakingly beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, I think this dining room is spectacular. And Count Arno, the original owner of Arno's restaurant, continues to think it's spectacular, and he continues as his ghost to set the standard here.
Now, the Count is long deceased, and it's so interesting because he wasn't really a Count, was he?
No, it was sort of a self-appointed title. I think it came with his whole idea that he wanted to make New Orleans into the Paris of the United States. So he had a standard, and it says, "A dinner chosen according to one's needs, tastes, and moods, well-prepared and well-served, is a joy to all the senses and a compelling incentive to sound sleep, good health, and long life."
Well, I'll drink to that. So where can we find the Count here?
The Count is usually right here in the main dining room and checks on the dishes to make sure that everything is presented correctly and that all the food is prepared well. He usually doesn't appear to the diners, but he does appear to the waitstaff. Busboys occasionally are so startled when they look up and they see him scowling at them that they drop their dishes, and the diners might look up, but they're not really sure what has startled the poor busboy, and they just go right back to eating.
Now, again, this is a place where the spirits and the spirits in the bottles might sometimes have a little crossover, because the bar here also has some ghostly apparitions.
Yes, there is a tuxedo-clad gentleman who hangs out in the bar. Now, the bar has all the mirrors around it. And when patrons are sitting at the bar and they see themselves in the bar, they realize there's one extra image in the mirror. And at one point, a gentleman actually stood up, counted all the patrons on the bar stool, and then looked in the mirror of the bar and realized there were 12 patrons at the bar stool, but there were 13 images in the mirror. There was an accountant who came here one night, I think it was on, well, actually it was New Year's Day, and he was doing an inventory, and he felt this cold breath of air blowing on him, and he looked up, and here once again is the tuxedo-clad gentleman in the bar. So no one really knows quite who he is. He was maybe a very loyal patron, and who continues to favor the Richelieu bar.
What's our next stop?
Our next stop is over on Tulu Street at the former O'Flaherty's Irish Channel Bar, where there are three ghosts.
Let's go. O'Flaherty's, but right here on Toulouse Street, it's actually, gosh, it's very beautiful. It never looked like this when it was O'Flaherty's. It's a new restaurant, and we're so lucky because one of the owners of the restaurant is here to talk with us, too.
My name's Anna Tusa, and this is the New Orleans Creole Cookery on 510 Toulouse Street.
So how long have you been here, Anna?
We've been here for the past 8 months.
How's it been?
It's been a lot of fun. Some strange things happen, though.
So this is one of the most haunted places?
It certainly is. This originally was not a commercial building. It was a private residence. And there was a woman here. Her name was Mary. She married Joseph. Joseph was her third husband. But Joseph apparently wasn't very content in the marriage. And so he started an affair with Angelique, who was a woman of color. And he set her up in what in New Orleans is called placage, which means he sets her up in a house as if she was really his wife, but she wasn't. And then they had a fight here one day because Angelique wanted to marry him, and he got so upset that he strangled her and buried her body right here in this courtyard. And as he was burying her body, one of the servants saw what he was doing. So he was already depressed about killing his lover. And it is said that he jumped off the balcony up there on the third floor. And he is now the grouchy ghost here at this wonderful new restaurant.
Well, tell me, what's been going on since you all opened up this beautiful restaurant?
So in the courtyard, the gas lights constantly go off and come back on. We've had them checked by the gas company and by engineers, and there's no explanation why the lights go off and you have to relight them from the pilot. Guests in the courtyard that have dined by the fountain have actually taken selfies and pictures of themselves, and when you look at your picture to see how it came out, have seen like shadows of people in the pictures. And then just weird things happen, like when people go in the restrooms, the faucets mysteriously come on when there's no one else in there but them. Just a lot of little things.
Has it scared you?
The only time it scared me was upstairs in the slave quarter. That's where we have an apartment at. I was working on my laptop and everything became unplugged from the wall and I was by myself up there.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I just told them that I needed to work and we could play later.
What a wonderful place this is. In New Orleans, you can start off with cocktails with a pirate over on Bourbon Street and finish with a lovely meal in the ghostly patio here at the New Orleans Creole Cookery.
Absolutely fabulous and absolutely wonderful that we still have ghosts here in New Orleans.
I just moved in my new house today. Moving was rough, but I got squared away. When chains started ringing and bells ringing loud,
after saying goodbye to Barbara, we walked over to Jackson Square, where tourists were receiving palm readings and having their tarot cards read. The next stop on our French Quarter tour, Restaurant Tableau, home to some of the more helpful ghosts in the city. Tableau, in the overall scope of New Orleans restaurants, is a relatively new restaurant. It's connected to Le Petit Theater, which of course is America's oldest community theater. Tell us about what has been going on here for eons. Because do you know the year that Le Petit was founded?
I believe it started as the Drawing Room Players and it was 1922. But the building sits on a site of a much older building that was built actually in 1789, but it burned to the ground in 1794. And then it was rebuilt in 1797 as the last residence of the Spanish governor of Louisiana, Don Manuel Gayoza. So it kind of has an interesting history. And then it actually became a Union hospital for Union soldiers during the Civil War.
During the Civil War. And that must be, it's my guess, when the trouble starts.
I really think so.
So what else has been going on here? Because this building's been in use for quite some time.
Well, there is a rather helpful ghost. Her name is Caroline, and she's said to have been an actress that fell from the catwalk. And there's different stories surrounding how she fell from the catwalk, but apparently she was wearing no clothes when she fell from the catwalk because it was slightly a torrid thing going on up there on the catwalk. But regardless, she's a very, very helpful ghost. And it's said that on the third floor of Tableau, there used to be the storage for props for the theater. And if they couldn't find anything up there, and which was often the case because they had, you know, plays upon plays upon plays, just the props up there. So if they were looking for something, say like a cane, and they couldn't find it, they would say, "Caroline, can't find the cane, I'm leaving now." They would leave, they'd come back in an hour, and it was almost always in the middle of the room. Whatever they were looking for, whatever they turned the place upside down for, was there for them. So we use that here at Tableau, too. We were looking for some bands. We do these gold bands on our menus and couldn't find them anywhere, and we knew we had dropped them off here. So we asked Caroline to bring us some gold, you know, where are gold bands? Find them for us. Left, they were back on the manager's desk. So she's helpful to us, too.
I have two encounters. One was that we did a reservation for a group called Destinations Diaries, and she was doing a piece on New Orleans, and part of the piece had to do with paranormal activity throughout the city. So anyway, we were in a library, and he took a picture with his iPhone, and when we looked at the picture, he was standing in front of one of the cabinets, and there was kind of like, almost like a whitewash, shaped like a person, standing in front of the cabinet. And then we went on the third floor, and we were in the parlor, which overlooks the balcony. The balcony overlooks the courtyard. Now, that's where Caroline supposedly lives, right? So we're standing on one side of the room, and there's nobody standing by the door that goes out to the balcony. Like I said, it overlooks the courtyard. He takes a picture, and he's looking at the picture, and I'm not going to curse because, you know, we're on air. So use some expletives.
Yes.
And we're like, what's wrong? Shows the picture. There's a face of someone looking in the pane from the outside, looking in towards us.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So when I close this place and I'm on the third floor, I turn the lights out, I'm not going back in there.
Yeah.
Unless the lights are coming back on, and I'll do that. The other story was this. When we're arming the system to get out of the restaurant, which we do every night, put an alarm code, and you got to wait, depending on your luck, for it to go through the entire building, and it'll arm the system for us. So anyway, I type in the code, and then we both heard something in the theater. And I looked at him. I was like, Richard, did you hear that? And he's like, yes, I did. This blank place is haunted. So as soon as he said that, the theater doors flew open, and our front door flew open and closed. Now, when y'all leave today, go out that front door and see how heavy that door is. There's no way the wind blew that door open.
Well, I think you are a very brave man, because not a lot of people would continue working in a situation right. where they were brushing up with the supernatural at this right. level.
But, you know, you talk to the theater people, they've been here a lot longer than us, and they all say the same thing. They know we're here for a good reason, and they're just here to coexist with us.
That was Wesley Jansen, marketing manager for the Dickie Brennan Restaurant Group, and Kelly Fiorella, assistant general manager of Tableau Restaurant. Chris J. covers the food scene in the northern part of our spooky state. He blogs about food at 20by49.com, and he's also our Louisiana Eats roving reporter. Chris, it's that time of year.
Mwah.
How do you celebrate in Shreveport?
You've got to go to Lucky Palace Chinese Restaurant's Halloween party. And I know that's a mouthful, but this incredibly unique, kind of upscale Chinese restaurant in Bossier City, which John Besh is a big fan of, by the way. When he had his steakhouse in Shreveport, Bossier, he loved to visit. It's run by this man named Quan Lim, who is really a lovable eccentric. He's obsessed with wine. The wine list there is very impressive. But he also loves Halloween. And he has his entire staff dress up. All of the customers dress up. They decorate the entire restaurant, and he rewrites the menu so that, for example, spring rolls are the fingers of the mummy, and lo mein is the witch's hair. He also does some really cool appetizers that'll only do on Halloween. Last year, it was a variety of takes on bone marrow. So it's a really, really neat experience. You've kind of got to look into it, because he'll announce it a few months out, you know, a month or two in advance of Halloween. So you've kind of got to check in to Lucky Palace. Facebook is a good way to do that. But it is a one-of-a-kind experience.
So it's not necessarily on a Halloween night.
No, it's usually the weekend of Halloween. And if we get lucky, you know, it'll fall on a Saturday night.
If you get lucky at the Lucky Palace.
Let me just tell you, last year, we're eating. We always go to this party. It's tremendous. And we're eating, and a Michael Jackson impersonator in zombie makeup came to our table side and did Thriller. Oh. They blared Thriller through the house speakers of the restaurant. I just looked around and thought, there is nowhere else on earth right now that anyone is eating lo mein that's called the witch's hair, watching a zombie Michael Jackson dance next to their table at a Chinese restaurant.
Anybody who knows me knows that's my kind of party. So I might be right there to join you this year.
I would love that, Poppy. We'll have some zombie fingers and witch's hair and all the other wonderful things that Lim dreams up.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Poppy. It's been a joy to talk about it.
That's Chris J., our very spookiest Louisiana Eats roving reporter. What is Tok Tok? No, it has nothing to do with the sound of a clock. Stay tuned, and we'll tell you all about Tok Tok when we come right back. I'm Poppy Tooker, and you're listening to Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from Rouse's Markets. Here's this week's culinary quiz question, brought to you with support from Popeye's Louisiana Culinary Institute. What is Tok Tok? Tok Tok, which is spelled T-A-C-T-A-C, is Cajun for popcorn. That's because of the tok 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 sound popcorn makes when it pops. At Halloween time in Cajun country, a favorite treat of trick-or-treaters are popcorn balls made with traditional cane syrup called boule de tok tok. They're so easy and fun to make that your little trick-or-treaters are likely to want to get into the act. Pop 2 quarts of popcorn the old-fashioned way. Microwave popcorn doesn't stay crisp enough for boule de tok tok. Combine 2 cups of traditional Louisiana cane syrup with a teaspoon of salt, then bring the mixture to a boil. Stir the boiling syrup constantly over a medium heat until a little ball forms when you drip a drop into a glass of water. Remove the syrup from the heat, then stir in a teaspoon of butter. Pour the hot mixture over the popcorn and quickly mix it all together. Now the real fun begins. Butter your hands, and as soon as the popcorn is cool enough to touch, form it into baseball-sized boules. Wrap the boules in plastic wrap to keep them fresh. I'm Poppy Tooker, and boule de tok tok are real Louisiana eats. Believe it or not, I've had my very own experience with ghosts. While researching my new book, Tujek's Cookbook, I found myself collecting endless terrifying tales from New Orleans' second oldest restaurant. Allow me to take you now on a walk through Tujek's, from the ground floor to its ghostly attic. The back dining room at Tujek's restaurant is known as the Begay Dining Room, in honor of Madame Begay and her husband Hippolyte, who had the original restaurant at Tujek's back before the Civil War in the 1850s. There's been a ghost in this room, and his name is Julian L. Tinge. You can look online and discover that Julian L. Tinge was one of the most famous celebrities in America in the early 20th century. And the amazing thing about Julian was he never appeared on stage or on screen dressed as a man. He only appeared dressed as a woman. Whenever Julian came through New Orleans, he always made a stop for a delicious meal at the famous Madame Begay's restaurant. And the last time he was here in 1917, he left behind an autographed picture of himself, which was hung on the wall and had been hanging there since 1917. In the summer of 2013, Mark Ladder, the owner of Tujek's, did a little facelift on the old girl and painted some rooms and redecorated a little bit. At that time, he took Julian's photograph off the wall and put it up in the attic. A A few months later, a young couple, Ian Wren and April Russ, were dining in the Begay room and took a selfie of themselves. When they got home and looked through the photographs from their trip, they discovered that in the Begay dining room, they had captured the ghostly image of Julian L. Tinge, suspended over a table in the corner where his photograph used to hang. Mark Ladder called me and he said, "Poppy, I think we have a ghost. Who do you think it is?" I took one look at the picture and I told him, "Mark, it's the cross-dresser. Where is his picture?" Mark got the picture out of the attic. We put it back on the wall, and Julian seems to be at peace now because we haven't seen him again in this room since. This is a place that nobody who visits Toujac's usually gets to go. It's the site of Madame Begay's original kitchen on the second floor of the restaurant on the corner of Madison and Decatur. Here, she created the meal we know today as the brunch. Madame Begay died in 1906, but after her death, the restaurant continued as before. That's because she had a young kitchen assistant whose name was Francois Lafarge, Laporte, and later, Begay. She knew the recipes, and she ended up marrying Monsieur Begay. Late at night, here in the site of Madame Begay's original kitchen, the Toujac's employees hear the sound of something that sounds like terrible fighting going on. Perhaps the first Madame Begay had an inkling that Monsieur Begay had a shine for her young kitchen assistant even before she passed away. We suspect the two madams are still battling it out in the kitchen on the second floor at Toujac's restaurant. While working on the Toujac's cookbook, I spent many, many hours up here in the attic at Toujac's restaurant. I was never afraid because I think that the Toujac spirits have been on my side helping me the whole time. During the process of researching the book, I had looked exhaustively for images of the former owners, but the Castets and the Toujacs, they were missing. 6 weeks before the manuscript was due, I came up to the Toujac's attic and found everything I was looking for. All of their pictures were up here, mysteriously waiting for me. And then the manager told me a true story about something that happened to a customer here. A gentleman had entertained and had a lovely dinner party where they had drunk a lot of expensive wines and had a wonderful, wonderful time. When dinner was over, the gentleman asked the manager, "Can we have a look around?" And the manager said, "Sure, go help yourself." A week later, the man was back and he came to the manager and he said, "Mister, you've got to accept my apology. Remember you said we could have a look around? Well, we went up to the third floor, and when I got up to the attic, I stole a framed photograph." Victor told the man, "Don't worry, there's nothing of any value on that third floor." But the man said, "Please, please say you'll accept my apology, because from the time I left the restaurant with that photograph, I immediately lost my cell phone, my wallet, and my car keys. In the week hence, my best friend has had a stroke and he's in the hospital, and my wife was in a car wreck. So before I even came to ask for the apology, I put that picture back exactly where I found it. So please accept my apology." Well, I accept his apology, and I think the ghosts at Toujac's do too. All I think happened was they wanted to make sure that I had all of their pictures and all of their stories straight for the Toujac's cookbook. That's our tour of Toujak's restaurant. To learn more about its history and the cross-dressing ghost, pick up a copy of my new book, Toujak's Cookbook, Creole Recipes and Lore in the Grand New Orleans Tradition.
I'm gonna tell you a story. Strange is in my sleep. So many voodoo people and the witch queen of New Orleans. She lives in the world of magic, but saved by the devil's juice.
In his spare time, Josh Beckerman is a food enthusiast and blogger living in New York City. But for his day job, Josh is a master at the art of illusion. The self-styled foodie magician and comedian shows off his sleight of hand at restaurants and events across the country, all with a food twist. According to the New York Times, go out often enough and the foodie magician will materialize at the end of your table. So now, through the magic of radio, the foodie magician's going to materialize for us on Louisiana Eats.
My shows, Poppy, are about entertainment and connection. Everybody in the universe is connected. We're all connected. We're here right now. You, me, Poppy, Joe, your sound guy. Are you ready for a trick?
I'm ready.
Good. So do you have a bill on you, Pops?
Uh-uh. I'm a girl. I don't have a wallet.
Does anyone in the room? Whoa.
Oh.
Here's your assistant. Joey comes through. You have this is a $10 bill. Can you fold the bill in your hand? I don't want anyone to see it but you. And what kind of phone do you have, Poppy?
I have an iPhone.
Take out your iPhone and go into the calculator, please.
Okay.
Now, Joe, when is your birthday?
August 2nd.
August 2nd is your birthday. So into Poppy's calculator, for a phone, I want you to put 802. Go ahead.
All right.
Good. Poppy, I want you to hit the multiply sign. Just hit multiply.
Multiply. Right.
And then put any random three-digit number that only you know. Only any random three-digit number. And don't tell Joe, but can you see the total on the calculator? Don't say it. Can you see it? It's a big total, right?
It's a big total.
Joe, in your hand is a bill that you just took out, right? It's right. Folded up in your hand. What was the denomination? A 5 or a 10?
10.
Look at the serial. Every bill in the world has a unique serial number. Look at the serial number of the bill, okay? And what's the first number?
9.
Okay, what's next?
3.
Next?
5.
Next?
3.
Yeah?
2. 8.
Can you tell the audience what's the number on the calculator now?
9353288. You're scaring me, Josh.
Poppy, the numbers that you guys just multiplied equaled the serial number of the bill that Joe just took out from his pocket. You guys are getting foodie magished. Unbelievable. Magic.
Okay, now, where's the food come in, Josh?
Well, I usually make food disappear all day. That's my big trick. I just made a clam pie disappear from Domenica Restaurant, which was amazing. Chef Alon Shia and Chef John Bash, you guys are killing it. All right, so let me try this. I see you have your phone out there.
Yes.
Go into the contacts of your phone.
Okay, I'm there.
Great. You're going to take the phone. You're going to hold it upside down. You're not going to look.
Okay.
You're going to start scrolling. You can go one way, the other way. Start scrolling.
Okay.
And select a name. So you selected a name at random from your phone. Do you know this person?
Yes.
I have a lot of random people on my phone. I want you to think about this person in your mind, okay? Don't say a thing. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Number one is, when was the last time you saw this person?
3 years ago.
3 years ago, okay. Does our friend Joe here know this person, yes or no?
No.
No, okay. And is this someone you know through work?
No.
No. How do you know this person?
Family.
A family member. Is this a cousin of yours?
It's a cousin-in-law.
A cousin-in-law. How would I know that? Could have been your uncle. I'm killing it. So you right now, you're thinking of, in your mind, a person you just chose randomly from your phone. You haven't seen this person in 3 years. It's a cousin-in-law. And this is crazy. I do mind reading around the world. Poppy, are you thinking of a male?
Yes.
Oh, my God. How would I know that? Mentalist. No, wait. That's not the trick. That's my big 50-50 joke. Here's the thing. Poppy, Joe, what you guys don't know is, before I was here, I was eating a clam pie at Domenica Restaurant. It was amazing. I paid the bill, and I was thinking about the pie. I was like, wow, that pie was amazing. I had fried Tuscan kale. It was delicious. And all of a sudden, I had a vision of a name. I had a vision of a name an hour ago. I was like, wow, I got to write this down. I took out my wallet. I took out a business card. I wrote down one name in the back of one card, and put it in my wallet an hour ago. Poppy, we met for the first time today. I've never touched your phone. You could have chosen anyone right now, but right now you're thinking of your cousin-in-law. It's a male. I'm going to have Joe. Joe, and tell the audience what's going on. Joe, in my wallet is
okay.
A card.
So he pulls out his wallet. He pulls out a card.
Joe took out a card.
He's got the card. Joe's
and
got the
is
card.
Is there a name in the back? Yes or no?
There is a name on the back.
What's the name of the person that you're thinking of? Say it out loud so the audience hears.
Ryan Furby.
What does the card say, Joe? Say it out loud.
Ryan Furby.
What does that say? What does it say on the back? It says Ryan Furby, the name of your cousin-in-law was written on the back of my card that I wrote back an hour ago because I had a vision because that clam pie was so good. It gave me visions.
Okay, you're freaking me out. I got to tell you the truth. You're freaking me out.
Awesome.
Okay. What's your best shot, baby?
My best shot? Maybe Jameson or Johnny Walker Black? What? You mean best trick? You mean, like, the tricks I've done so far aren't that amazing? That
they
you want
are
me to
amazing. You're, like, batting a thousand. Wait.
If that's Ryan Furby at the door, I'm going back to New York, and I'm crying forever.
No, wait. Here. We're going to have a special appearance on the radio now. Madeline Mulladew, welcome to Louisiana Eats.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mama. Thank you.
Mama? Is that your daughter?
That's my daughter.
Oh, my God. I feel like a part of the family. This is amazing.
What's your number?
You asked me before your daughter walked in about my favorite best shot, and my best shot I was about to do, and I had no idea that your beautiful daughter was going to walk in. And here she comes in like a little angel flying in,
and she's kind of magic, isn't
she's
she?
She's kind of magic. But my best shot is really the true form of connection. And then Joe and Poppy, I want you to watch this because here's the thing. Your name is Madeline. Oh my God, how would I know that? Mentalist. And I heard Poppy say it 30 seconds ago. Stand up, Madeline, stand up. Here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna take my business card, okay? Poppy and Joe, I'm taking the business card. I'm going to touch, Madeline, I'm gonna touch you with the card, okay?
Be careful with that.
I am. Madeline's eyes are gonna be closed, not yet. Madeline, you will be aware of every touch, every sensation. The only thing is your eyes are closed, okay? Madeline, open your eyes for a second. 1, 2, 3, close your eyes. Are your eyes closed?
Yes.
Okay, so listeners, right now, Madeline's eyes are closed. I'm going to take the card, okay? I'm going to touch you with the card. The question is this. Madeline, did you feel a touch?
Yes.
Where?
On my nose.
Yes, I touched your nose. Good. Keep your eyes shut. Can you hear my voice?
Yeah.
I have one question. Madeline, you felt a touch?
Yes.
Where?
On above my eyebrow.
Yeah. Ooh, Poppy's laughing. Keep your eyes shut. Can you hear my voice, yes or no?
Yes.
I have a question. Did you feel a tickle?
Yes.
Where?
Under my chin.
Okay, your eyes are definitely shut, right?
Yes.
I have a question. Did you feel a touch?
No.
Oh, good. Open your eyes. Stop. Now, Poppy,
yes.
Your listeners are listening and you couldn't see what just happened, but you and Joe saw. Can you tell Madeline and your audience what just happened?
Yes. When she felt her nose being rubbed, you were doing that to my nose. When she felt her chin being rubbed, it was forehead being
Did
rubbed.
Did I touch Madeline at all?
No, never touched
I was touching
Madeline
you and Joe the entire
all.
Time. I
you
touched you guys
Madeline?
The entire time.
You're joking.
No, I didn't touch you at all. I was touching you, Poppy. I touched Joe. You felt the connection. You felt the sensation.
So
you
weird.
Guys are getting foodie magish. This is unbelievable. I need more to drink.
Josh Beckerman, foodie magician.
Black magic.
You used black magic when you took hold.
On Tuesday, November the 3rd, our friends at Brady's Wine Warehouse are hosting the next Louisiana Eats and Cooks Club at their amazing store on the corner of Calliope and OCH. We'll be cooking from my new book, The Toujacks Restaurant Cookbook, revealing recipes and stories from the city's second oldest restaurant. Each dish will be served with an expertly paired wine selection. You'll find the link for tickets on the Southern Food and Beverage Museum's website at southernfood.org and on our Louisiana Eats website at itsneworleans.com. That's it for this week's edition of Louisiana Eats, edible content for Louisiana food lovers. Join us next week when restaurateur Dickie Brennan remembers his dad, Mr. Dick Brennan, the creator of the Jazz Brunch.
My dad worked the Sunday breakfast, which was the monster breakfast.
Subscribe to our podcast, hear today's show, or catch up on previous editions anytime online at itsneworleans.com.
Louisiana Eats is made possible with major support from Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, Rouse's Markets, and Zatarain's. Additional support for Louisiana Eats is provided by the Shreveport-Bossier Convention and Tourist Bureau and Tableau, Dickie Brennan's latest restaurant, serving local Creole cuisine with a view of Jackson Square. Original theme music by Johnny Sketch and the Dirty Notes. Big thanks to producers Joe Schreiner, Sarah Holtz, and Sean Johnson. Come visit us anytime in our Louisiana Eats studios at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. I'm Poppy Tooker. Louisiana Eats is a production of WWNO and the University of New Orleans.